Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. Well, do you know, after all those notices I gave you earlier, there are a couple of things I forgot to mention. The first is there's no evening celebration tonight. However, Linda and her husband Phil are gigging at the Tank tonight. So if you want to get along and listen to Linda and Phil, well worth getting along to, in the Tank opposite Portivo Lounge in the docks. They are on tonight at 7:45. So do, if you're at a loose end tonight and you'd like to go along and support them, they would be very glad to see you there. Wonderful. And the other thing just to mention to you is if you're a spur-of-the-moment kind of person, you might want to go to Focus tomorrow because they're still looking for children's workers. They're a little fearful that they might have to turn some children away because they haven't got a big enough team. So if you're a spur-of-the-moment kind of person, you've got a week off and you're thinking, I was going to sit in my garden, hey, come to Focus. We'd love to see you there. We'd love you to be part of the solution to the problem that they have, not enough team to accommodate all the lovely children who are so looking forward to Focus in this coming week. So if that's you and you think, oh, why not? Have a word with me or Sue afterwards and we'll make things work for you. Brilliant. Okay, well, it's my pleasure, real pleasure today to welcome our speaker this morning and his wife, long-standing friends of ours. He spent 29 years in the UK, originally from Lebanon. I spent 29 years in the UK, much of that time, about 15 years, I think, studying and practicing architecture. He was a layperson in a church, a number of churches in the London area for a number of years, and we caught up with them in Oxford when we were both training to be vicars. And our families crossed over at that point many years ago, more years ago than I care to remember. And while he was serving a three-year curacy in London, he was part of a team that launched Arabic Alpha in the Middle East. Anybody speak Arabic here? Ah, there we are. Is that all you know? Yeah, okay, right. He moved to Beirut in 2005 and served as vicar of All Saints Beirut for 10 years while continuing to develop Arabic Alpha. And he took up a full-time role of Alpha Levant coordinator. And that covers countries like Syria, Jordan, Iraq. No, not Iraq. Here it is, Israel and Palestine. That's the Levant. So he covers Alpha for that whole region. And there's mission creep into Armenia and Turkey, we were learning last night as well. And he's fulfilled that role since 2015. Describes himself as international, interdisciplinary, and interdenominational, with a passion for Jesus and his church. Brilliant. And his wife, Sarah, is British, Canadian, Swiss, and almost trilingual like Nabil. She trained as an interior designer, practiced for 20 years in Geneva and London. She's on the leadership team of All Saints Beirut, and she manages the hospitality and administrative side of the Shahadi mission, spreading Alpha across the Middle East and seeing Christians come together and work together under the banner of Alpha and the marriage course and other things like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Nabil and Sarah Shahadi. Would you like a stand, Nabil? Would you like a stand? Here we go.
That would be lovely, yes.
Yeah,
you.
I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you. With pleasure.
Great. Father, thank you for Nabil, and thank you for Sarah, and thank you for the amazing work that they are doing in the Middle East to promote Alpha across that region, and thank you for the fruit that is coming from it. And we pray blessing on them and their ministry. We pray that you would give them real success and favor, and that the year ahead would be more fruitful than any year behind them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow, it's great to be here. Thank you. And after this worship session, I don't think you need anybody to preach. Shall I just go sit down? Thank you. I think we've covered everything. So, but dodgy stand. Okay, we only have dodgy stands, nothing else. And, well, it's truly a pleasure. And it is actually 17 years ago that we met. So we are, when we were 5 years old or six or something. So we've covered some history and some ground. And it's so wonderful to be here. I mean, I don't know how you managed to kind of get a place prepared for you since 1541 called King's School when your theme is Kingdom Come? I mean, this is good stuff, right? You're in King's School and your theme is Kingdom Come. Not bad. And it's great to see you in this incarnation. We'd love to see the Mariners Church because we actually pastored a church near a marina too. So Sarah will tell you a bit about that. Sarah, you want to say a bit of, yes, pictures? Pictures? Do we have some pictures?
Well, Andy covered a lot of the stuff I was going to say. So I'm going to go straight into talking about Lebanon. there's meant to be a map coming up just to remind you where it is, that it's sort of landlocked within Syria and Israel, and Lebanon is still doesn't have a peace treaty with Israel, so we can't go across that border. And then there's the sea. So you just fly in and out of Lebanon. What is unique about Lebanon is that it's the only Arab country that has a Christian leader, that has a Christian calendar. We have Saturday and Sundays off, where you're freely allowed to worship. And that is why nearly all the mission organizations that want to work in the Middle East are based there. So it's not like anything like Yemen, Saudi, or the Emirates, where you're not allowed to talk about Jesus, you're not allowed to share your faith. It's very different. It's also very different geographically. There's no desert. There are no camels. The next picture. What there is snow, which is wonderful because it's mountainous. Yeah, I like this. I'm very happy there. It has mountains. And so though it's a very small country, about the size of Wales, it's like a crumpled piece of paper. And when you open it up and flatten it, it's actually huge. And there's masses there. All the mountains go down to the sea, but up in the mountains, you're going like this the whole time to get from A to B. Well, normally, actually, you go down to the coast and then up again. But as a result, a lot of the very old churches and what you read about in the Bible as the ites still survive there because they've taken refuge over the centuries. And so that's why Lebanon, for example, has 18 officially recognized religion. Well, what do they call them?
Religious communities.
Religious communities, 12 of which are Christian. So 4 Muslim, 1 Druze, which is an offshoot of Islam, 1 Jewish, though they're a very, very small community there since the creation of Israel, or since 82. And the rest are Christian. Only one of those 12 are what they call evangelical Protestants, which everything, Free Church, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, and everything else gets squeezed into. And they are 0.02% of the Christians, so very, very small. So the bulk of the Christians there are Maronite, which is an offshoot of Catholic Church, and Orthodox, and then these very, very old churches. And often people don't realize what a rich, rich culture and church history comes from here. And we feel called to bring, to support and see renewal and growth happening within those churches. And one of the things that has been amazing about Nabil being in the Anglican Church, because just to give you a bit of background, his mother is half Maronite, half Greek Catholic, so Catholic. And his father is Presbyterian. Of Orthodox background, which most of them were. So how did he end up in the Church of England?
Right in the middle.
Yeah, well, you're giving away my line. Yeah. So the practical reason was we were in England at the time, and someone gave you very good advice, you know, stick with what you know, work with what you know. And we knew the Church of England. We didn't actually want to go there. But God called us, and it was so clearly of his doing and not our choosing. Within a week, our hearts changed, and we knew we'd been called into the Church of England. Now that we're actually in Lebanon, you can see his wisdom, because the Anglican Church is not really known. You say you're Anglican, and there's this blank look that goes across people's faces. They haven't a clue what it is, because it was a French protectorate, and it was a Catholic background, whereas Palestine had the Brits and the Anglican Church and so forth. So he says he's Anglican, and they say, well, what is that? And that's where this wonderful line that Nabil's already given away, it's the via media, it's the middle line. Its theology is Protestant, so he can go amongst the Baptists and the evangelicals in his black and his collar, and, well, maybe not the black, but anyway, the collar, and be totally accepted. And then he'll put on the cassock and be totally happy with candles, and maybe less so with the incense, but certainly the robe and the candles and the altar, and be totally accepted by the Catholics and the Orthodox Church. And so we have an opening into all these churches that no other denomination could, which has been amazing with Alpha, because Alpha is interdenominational. So we're not pushing a particular denomination. We're praising Jesus, and we've got so much shared theology. But you've got to get past all those boundaries of tradition and history and culture. So Lebanon's a bit like England was 100 years ago. You know, people go, they dress up, the churches are full, but they're, what was that lovely expression that someone gave? They're
sacramentalized, yeah, but not
evangelized. You know, they know the form, but they haven't necessarily been touched by Jesus. And that's what we're hoping that Alpha as a tool will bring to them. It's not the only course, there are many others, but that's the one that we can offer. And what we're finding is that it's not just the Alpha course, it's the marriage course that suddenly in the last year has way overtaken what people, I mean, it's what we present the whole range, but that is what the churches are picking up on and saying, oh, we really need that. So I can't remember what the other slides were. This is going back to the geography of Lebanon. This is the Bekaa Valley, which is very high-level plateau. It's part of the Rift Valley that runs along the length of the country. There used to be the breadbasket of the Roman Empire, very, very fertile. It's also Hezbollah and I think hashish down one end and Hezbollah down the other and Syria on the other side. We stick to the middle bit where there are vines and wine growing and wonderful ancient Roman ruins. Yeah. Someone asked me earlier, how safe is it there? And I just want to say that when God calls you to do something and you do it, that's the safest place to be anywhere. You know, whether you're crossing the road or driving your car or flying an airplane, and in our case, living in Lebanon, never felt worried or fearful at all, because we know that God has called us to be there. And I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Sarah. And just a couple more pictures. So this is our marina. The little orange blob down there next to the skyscrapers is All Saints. So we have the brand new marina, which was built after the war. So I tried to get the vicar's yacht, but it didn't work. So did you manage that? But also there is one of the worst slums in Beirut. And that's where Sarah has been working with an NGO that is supporting Syrian refugees. And so she loves quilting. So Sarah, you want to say something about that?
Okay. So the other thing about Lebanon is that it's a country of extremes. Extreme wealth, extreme poverty. Highly educated, with kids that haven't, you know, can't even get into school. Very, very cultured. They have Roman columns scattered around their parking lots as bollards, because they've got so many of them. You know, people have 2 or 3 degrees and PhDs. Anyway, what I want to say is the extremes. And so I've been working with Syrian refugee women with an NGO that has a school and a clinic in one of these poor slums. And I was asked to come in to help with their income-generating project of making crafts as quality control. And I'm a quilter, so I thought I'll give them a really tricky quilting problem, which will only work out if you're accurate. So I forced them to have to be accurate. And actually, they made really nice work. That was after 5 sessions, or 5 sort of workshops. And then after that, I continued because I really liked the people. It was really fun because they were so keen. They're all Muslims, as you can see, and most of them are single mothers supporting their families. And they wanted to learn. So that's what I've been doing.
One more of the
same. Oh, and I've been doing it in Arabic, so it was also an opportunity for me to practice my Arabic, because Nabil speaks Arabic, and most of our work now with the local churches is in Arabic. So I can only get involved when it's English-speaking, which happens with the Armenians, who prefer to speak English, or any of the churches that speak French or English.
Great. And that's one of the results. Very beautifully made bibs that are being sold in different places. And finally, we get to one of the examples of Alpha in Arabic. This is a poster we did for a women's prison. And we like to major on the social aspect of Alpha, because, you know, food is important in the Middle East. Anybody here likes food? Yeah. Isn't it great that God designed us to eat? You know, it's a fantastic design. So we call it a bite a word and a chat. And people love that slogan. And of course, that the question mark, you can ask any question. And that is very attractive also. And finally, what I'll be talking about today is the three values behind the Alpha mission: being real, reliant, and relational. And I hope that will feed into some of the things you've been doing about kingdom, about life in the spirit. I'll be breaking a bit your Luke series, but I hope some of the themes will relate. So do we have readers? We don't have readers. Well, let's pray, and I'll do the reading. Okay. Father, thank you for your written word preserved for us from age to age. Thank you for your word proclaimed by your people from generation to generation. And thank you for your living word, our risen Lord Jesus, here in our midst. Reveal him afresh by your Spirit to the glory of your name. Amen. As I've been looking at Alpha and how it has grown all over the world, you know, it's 160 countries. This is the kingdom of God. It's about the whole earth being reclaimed. It's about the people of God being from all tribes and all nations. And it's about unity. The kingdom of God is about the one church that is made from all kinds of people and united, whether Catholic or Orthodox or Protestant, it doesn't matter. When we're united in Jesus, we are truly united. That is the kingdom of God. And I love it that the preacher to the popes, you know, the guy who preaches to the popes, you've come across him, Raniero canta la messa. What a beautiful name. Not as beautiful as Jesus, but it's a beautiful name. And he says, what unites us is infinitely greater than what divides us. When the church looks at Jesus, we're united. When we look at history and geography, we're divided. And as Sarah said, we are longing to see that kind of unity in mission in the Arabic-speaking local churches in the Middle East. You know, the biggest missionary force in the Middle East is the local church, but they're dormant, most of them, still, you know, not really knowing how to truly live the freedom in Christ that is ours and to do the mission that Jesus sent us to do. So we see Alpha as a tool for renewal and mission, to start with our own house, start with the church being renewed. And we've been hearing so much about the church in the Middle East being under pressure, and it is under huge pressures and existential pressures. I mean, churches have been wiped out of existence, as well as other communities. Let's not forget, I mean, many have suffered in the Middle East, but the church is under pressure. And Lebanon is like one of these last bastions of freedom for the church to truly exist, fully able to function. So we're very excited to be based there, working with all the different churches, Catholic and Orthodox and Baptist and Pentecostal and Maronites and Armenian Orthodox and all these different people who have all started to do Alpha with us. And it's beautiful to see that when you raise Jesus, when you lift Jesus up, that's what draws people. And so we want to see more of that. And I've been thinking, well, why is Alpha working so well? Yep, it might not be the best written course, although the new Alpha series, as you said, is fantastically well made. What is it that has made it cross every boundary? How come it's working in 160 countries, in 120 languages, in every denomination? If you were to put a committee together from Catholics and Orthodox and Pentecostals and Baptists to design and write a course that they will all agree on, I think it would take a few centuries, probably. But the Lord has done it from grassroots. How? Why? And as an architect, I like to think about the clear concepts, and as a systematic theologian part-time, I'd like to say, well, how does this work? Well, there's something very simple about the way Alpha works, and I think that's crucial. It's It's how it is run. I always say to people, Alpha is not a secret magic formula. You don't just, you know, press a button and it works. Alpha is only as good as the team that runs it, the team that has understood what this is about, the gracious hospitality, the creation of space for people to be safe, to ask questions, to journey. But why does it work? Its methodology is very simple. We all like to eat, and we all like to talk, right? Whether we are in Gloucester, GL1, the heart of the kingdom, or whether we are in Beirut, or in South America, or in Zimbabwe, or in Timbuktu, every human being likes to eat and likes to talk. If your missiology is based on that, you've already hit some very good points. But you know, as I look at those two elements of Alpha, behind them are very huge doctrines. Eating is about being human. It's incarnational. And talking is about being in the image of God. It's about Trinity. So behind them, this missiology of Alpha, are the two biggest doctrines of the Christian faith and the most difficult doctrines, the Incarnation and the Trinity. So what I'm going to look at with you today is how this is developed into a practical understanding of how we do life and mission the Jesus way. That's what we're about. Isn't it? Yes. Somebody agrees at least. And what really launched me on this is one little word that Jesus uses. One little teeny word, two letters, which comes in his commissioning of the disciples in John 20. And John 20, 19 to 22 says, Jesus appears to his disciples, and this is how it happened. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus does a beam me down, Scotty. Look what happened. He just comes and he stood amongst them and he said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. They sure needed that. They were sitting there scared, and all of a sudden this guy appears in their midst, you know, even he says, and then he says, as the Father sent me, I send you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If Jesus has said, if Jesus said, the Father sent me, I send you, we have to figure it out. It's up to us to figure out what to do. But he used a very, very small word which gives us the clues of how to do it, which was, that's a very important one, equipping, as, exactly, as the Father sent me, I send you. So how do we do the sending? How do we do the going? As he did. And how did he do the sending? The first principle is incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what we're going to look at today is a little word, two big doctrines, and three values. How do we live these values and we do mission the way Jesus did it? So the first principle in the as the Father sent me, I send you, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, as the Message translation says. Mission is about coming, God taking on human flesh and living our life. That says a lot about how we are to live. I'll look at that. The other big way that, and big principle behind the as, is Trinity. How do we see that? We see that in everything Jesus did. You have your series is Luke and Life in the Spirit, because Everything Jesus did was through the power of the Spirit. That's the good news for us. Because when he says, as the Father sent me, I send you, we will see that more about that. We have the same Spirit to do the same mission. And just to confirm that, to make sure we understand this, Jesus, when he launches his mission in Nazareth, and when you see that in Luke 4, have you covered Luke 4 yet? He's given the scroll of Isaiah 61. And what does he say? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You want to know what the kingdom looks like? This is the messianic manifesto of the kingdom. Good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Doesn't that sound like a good thing to do to this world? An oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is the kingdom mission of the Messiah, the messianic manifesto that he says, we are to continue. As the Father sent me to do this, you are to do it. And how did he do it? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. That's why he is the Christ. That's not his family name, Jesus Christ. It is his title. It is how he did his mission. He is the anointed one. And of course, you see there the Trinity. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So his mission is the mission of God to this world. It's a Trinitarian mission. And if we are to do the mission of the Trinity, we are to understand what that implies, the implications of that Trinitarian thinking are in our lives. And that's where the three values come in. That is a way to unpack incarnation and Trinity. So let's look at these three words and see how they help us to do life and mission the Jesus way. The first one, which comes from incarnation, is being real. This is really good news. We can be real. We can be ourselves. We can be human, because God came to earth and spent 30 years in obscurity living a human life. Can you imagine that? Just let's think about it. God, you bother to come to earth, and you live 30 years in a back side of the backlands of the Roman Empire, you know, in a forgotten place under occupation. 30 years being human, being a baby, growing up, learning to talk, learning to walk, learning to work, being part of a family. What does it say about our daily life? What does it say about being human? What does it say about doing the washing up and cleaning and, you know, going to work? Everything is worship. Everything is worthy of God. Every detail of our lives is worship. Everything. We live incarnationally. We live sacramentally when we accept that the ordinary has become extraordinary when it is infused with the life of Jesus. He came to make us truly human, because we had lost our humanity because of sin and the fall. And that's why St. Irenaeus in the second century says, the glory of God is man. He wasn't politically correct. He means woman too. Is man fully alive? Fullness of life is what God wants for each one of us to truly live. And That is the big first good news. You can be normal. You can be yourself. You can be supernaturally, naturally supernatural. Naturally supernatural. You know that beautiful, I think it's John Wimber who launched that. We don't have to put on big airs to live the Christian life. We can be human, truly, in every respect. And this will work itself out in our whole being, that if we truly live each moment of our day as an act of worship, from that everything will flow, our worship, our wholeness, and our witness, your three beautiful outworkings of the kingdom values in your community, from being truly human in Jesus, from recognizing that the kingdom works through our weakness. Blessed are the poor. Really? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Be human and long for God. In your weakness, in your vulnerability, that is how his glory will be made manifest. He is the one who's glorious. He is the one who has the power. He is the one who has the kingdom. And he uses little human beings like me and you. This frees us to live our lives in all its details and to then do mission out of that. Because when you do mission out of this groundedness in an identity of being you in Jesus, then, and it flows through everything you do, you become the fifth gospel. People look at your life and say, where is this peace? Where is this? In the midst of the chaos of your life, there is a groundedness. That's Jesus. And when you meet people in mission, you're meeting them face to face, people to people, and you are being real with them. And that's why at Alpha we eat together, because the most human thing to do that we do is to eat. You know, I think God designed us to eat as an architect trying to figure this out. Because if we didn't stop to eat, we'd never stop. We'd never meet, right? We're all running around, you know, see you. But we need to stop to eat. Hey, come and have a cup of coffee. Come for a meal. Not because your friends are dying of thirst or hunger. It's because you want to see them. Isn't that the easiest way to meet people? It's wonderful that you have these initiatives of hospitality and, you know, meetings during the summer. That is the greatest fun of the kingdom. You know, kingdom fun is let's have a party. You know, let's eat together. It's really fun to do kingdom like that, isn't it? Jesus did it all the time. You know, he was called the glutton. We follow the glutton from Palestine. You know, isn't that a real license for parties? Not license to kill, license to live, license to love together. And that is why Alpha works, I think, because it starts with being human together, with let's eat together. We had Alpha in one of the most notorious prisons in Beirut. I mean, it's a terrible place. And we were holding it with the National Catholic Chaplaincy for Prisons. We used the chapel in the midst of that horrible bastion. And one of the guys who came to it told us at the end, he said, I never, never come to anything that the chaplaincy does. I want nothing to do with you with you guys. That's how he lived. He's one of the lifers. He lived there for years. He said, I'm up there in my cell on the second floor. I want nothing to do with this, with the chapel. But he said, I saw your poster, which said a word, a bite, very important, start with that. And a word, a bite, a word, and a chat. I said, okay, I'll give you one shot. I'll give you one chance. He came down. He said, I came in. I saw the smiles on your faces. I saw the food on the table. I saw the welcome you gave me. I became the first at the door for the next 9 weeks. That's the power of incarnational mission. And Sarah reminds me, when I'm training teams, I say, we start with the food, especially in the prison, and then we do the talk. They say, no. Let's do the talk first because you've got them in and they want to stay for the food. I said, no, we start with the food. But they say, but they'll eat and they will go. I said, that's fine. Let them eat and go. This is our message. It's about grace. It's unconditional hospitality. You come and eat and go if that's what you want to do. Because our message is freely given, a message of hospitality. And so that the medium is the message. How we do mission is part of how we communicate mission. My friend from Syria, who ran Alpha in Aleppo under bombs for 4 years, he's now working in Lebanon with Open Doors. He said the West now has a golden opportunity with these waves of new immigrants. Will they be received with hospitality, or will they be just ignored and tolerated? If you receive them and share life with them, you are building community. There is a window for that. After that, they will just close in on their own, into their own ghettos of communities, like we've seen in many migrant communities. He said, hospitality is the way to receive the stranger. No wonder hospitality is so important, isn't it? You have a team of hospitality. All of us should be into hospitality. Use this as your main mission tool. Being real, being incarnational in the way we live and the way we do mission. The second one, and I'll go through these a bit quicker, being relational is based on the Trinity. Again, I love that as an architect. How did God design us? We are designed on the same principle of the living God himself, the God who is eternally a relationship of love. God didn't need us to know love. He is love. And this mystery of the three in one, of unity in diversity, of this triune God is the deepest and most amazing mystery in the universe. Love is at the heart of the universe in the God who is relational in his very being. And he creates us as relational beings. You know, the greatest miracle in this creation is a human being who can say, I love you. And for you to receive that and reciprocate. Relationships are amazing. It's the heart of being human in the image of God. And so we live the life of Jesus relationally. We value relationships. Every relationship in our life is an image of our relationship with God. And through that, we learn, hopefully, how much God loves us. And of course, he is here to redeem the relationships that are broken so that they will truly reflect the love of God. Relationships are the most exciting and the most difficult in life, aren't they? You know, I think Facebook's gift to the world is the relationship status. It's complicated because relationships are. And Jesus comes to help us truly live relationally, understand who we are in relationship with God, the one who loves us, all the way to the cross, the one who says to us, you are to die for. Nobody does it like him. Looks here, it says, you are to die for. That's how much I love you. And then to help us to live out this love in every relationship. In our families, at work, in the church. You know, the secret to spiritual growth that Jesus gives us is not singing to him. It's not how much we worship with songs and with actions. It's how we love one another. He says, if you love me, love one another. And the secret to spiritual growth he gives us in John 14:27, if you obey me, and he loves me, obeys my commandment, this is my commandment, love one another. And He who obeys me, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home in him. You know what? Where God's home is? Bethel. You know where it is? It's not in Redding, California. It is you. We will make our home in you. Bethel, the house of God. And Jesus says, you want to grow in your knowledge of me and the Father? Start loving. Because as we start loving, we realize how difficult it is to love and how much we need more love. And so we go back to him, God, I can't do this. You really love these people? Yeah, and I love you. Here's more love. Now you go love some more. And you go and love some more, and you get back, Lord, I need more. And here's some more. Go love some more. This is the beautiful cycle of growth in our life in Jesus. As we're committed to one another, committed to doing life together with all its, in all its fullness and its, in all its difficulties. That's when the cross really becomes real. When we give ourselves one for the other. Greater love has no man. And we grow in as a community of love. And when people come into this community, say, what is this love here? That they may have love. That they may love one another, that the world may know. Isn't this the prayer of John 17? That we do mission through loving, through relationship. We live that relationship together in the church and out of the church, and we do mission relationally. That's what Alpha is about. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Let's meet and discuss. And I've been doing Alpha for now, nearly 30 years. I've been collecting friends for 30 years. It's great, especially when you lead an international congregation. I have friends all over the world. We've eaten, 10 meals together. That's enough to make you friends for life. So hospitality, creating community. This is what the world is longing for. Real, authentic, welcoming community. No wonder Alpha works. It's the relationship that we all long for in this world. And finally, the Trinity is about being reliant. Because we can't do any of this, however well we do it, it will not be effective if it isn't relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the messianic power. And isn't it amazing that the early church, when eventually they called themselves something, they didn't call themselves the Jesuits. They didn't call themselves the Nazarenes. They called themselves the Christians. I mean, it's a bit cheeky. We are the anointed ones. We are the Christians. We follow the anointed one, and we are anointed. Because they realized we can only do this in the power of the Spirit that Jesus functioned in. And no wonder when Jesus says, go to the ends of the earth, make disciples of all nations, right? So what did the church do? They went immediately, right? They formed a committee and they went out in mission. Did they do that? No, they didn't. What did they do? They huddled because Jesus said, before you go, you wait. You wait till you are clothed with power to do this. As the Father sent me, I send you. You do it clothed with power. In your weak, vulnerable human existence, you are clothed with power to do the stuff of Jesus. And that's why they waited. And the church, these, great and mighty apostles who had had a BA in genealogy for 3 years, waited and prayed for 10 days between the resurrection and Pentecost. Mission starts with waiting. Every day should start with waiting. Before we launch into the mission of every day, just wait on him. Okay. 10 minutes, if that's too much, start with 3 minutes, Trinitarian, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Spirit. Sit in total silence and say, Lord, I wait on you. Breathe on me. You are the breath. We sang something like that, didn't we? You are the air I breathe. Lord, just even my breath is going to remind me that I need you. Fill me, strengthen me as I go out today. And as we live reliant on the Holy Spirit, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That's how we grow as Christians. That's how we understand the Bible that we read. That's how we pray. That's how we do relationships. That's how we understand all that we are is because of the Spirit in us, is in us. We are Jesus because the Spirit of Jesus is in us. So we live. Our life is a life in the Spirit. And we do mission in the power of the Spirit. We are to do mission like Jesus, which is a display of the kingdom of God being manifest on earth through weak vessels like us. And we do it because we rely on him. That is the tension that we are to never forget. I am weak, but he is strong. I am poor, but he is the king. I am thirsty, but he has fullness. I mourn, yet he gives me joy. These are the Beatitudes, the attitudes of the Beatitudes. And as we keep living with this tension, in my weakness, I see your glory and your strength and your power, and I live it out by your Spirit, relying on you day by day. We will never fall into this, I am a super Christian. I am the amazing preacher. I am the amazing this or that. Forget about that. It's not about us. It's about him. We are just offering bits of bread that he breaks and he blesses and he multiplies and he feeds the multitudes. That is living and doing mission, relying on him. And that's what makes for a high theology of fun and a high theology of food and a high theology of the kingdom of God at work in our midst. This is our life in the kingdom, being real, being relational, being reliant. You have a beautiful sub-theme in kingdom for the kingdom in school. The school here, have you noticed? Via Crucis, Via Lucis. It's the way of the cross, and it's the way of light. We live the kingdom of God as we embody his life, we embody his love, we embody his self-giving, we embody his service, we embody his hospitality, and we live real, relational, and reliant. This is your mission, folks. Are you ready to receive it? Shall we pray? Father, thank you. Thank you that you call us. You call us in our weakness, with our questions, with our brokenness, with our humanity, to come and be transformed, to live as children of God, to live as people of your household, to live as agents of your kingdom. So, Lord, we come to you as we are. We want more of this, Lord. Fill us. Come and take us and transform our understanding of ourselves, our identity, how we live, the details of our lives, how we live in our relationships, and how we do mission relying on you. Come, Holy Spirit, release your gifts, release the love of God in our hearts in a new way. Bind up the brokenhearted, release the captives. Bring good news, bring joy, bring laughter, bring the garments of praise in our midst. And may we be a people who show your kingdom and your power and your glory as we live daily, being real, being relational, and being reliant on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nabil. Really good. Thank you. Well, you didn't know this morning was going to be a shameless plug for Alpha, did you? I'm not sure that I did either, but, you know, I'm all for it. So if you want to sign up for Alpha in the Middle East, see Nabil. If you want to sign up to help with Alpha in Gloucester, see Seb or me. If you'd like prayer, there'll be the prayer ministry team up here to my right, your left. And if you want coffee and tea, it's going to be happening on the table at the back there. Have a look at the table where we've laid out all the relevant postcards, particularly if you want cards for Connecting Course. The Alpha Course, 5th of October, can't wait. Or the LL Training Day in November. So just a prayer to finish with. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And if you're not coming to Focus, have a great week. We will.